Perhaps in some spots, southeast winds for the rest of the afternoon between 5 and 10 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 62. The winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, not quite as nice. Showers and thunderstorms are still likely for tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana, the high of around 80 degrees. Winds tomorrow will be out of the south at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow night will still be cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening before they taper off, the low of around 65. And on Sunday, mostly sunny and breezy and a high of 85 degrees. It'll be rather windy, so gusts to around 30 miles an hour out of the south on Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, mostly cloudy. Sunday night's low 65, the high on Monday 82. Then another chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in Monday night through Wednesday night, before we stay cloudy and precipitation-free by Thursday. Tuesday's high temperatures in the upper 70s, Wednesday in the low 70s, and Thursday only in the upper 60s, with lows Monday night in the mid-60s and Tuesday and Wednesday nights in the upper 50s. As mentioned, skies are mainly sunny across east-central Illinois at this hour, and temperatures are in the mid to upper 70s, ranging from around 73 degrees in Danville, 72 in Mattoon, up to 77 right now in Decatur, as well as Rantoul, 79 degrees in Pontiac, 74 in Bloomington, and Decatur has 77. Right now, 77 at Willard Airport under sunshine with a dew point of 55 and relative humidity of 46%. Winds are at the south at 8 to 16 miles an hour. The pressure is falling at 30.03. 77 again at Willard, 80 degrees on Friends Plaza at 21 minutes before 1 o'clock. It's 12:40 on the Afternoon Magazine. There's growing concern about inflation in China. Last month, overall inflation there was up 5.3% compared to the year before. Food prices were up more than 11%. Chinese consumers are angry, and this could lead to social instability there, as NPR's Louisa Lim reports.
Here in Beijing, shoppers are really feeling the pinch. I'm in a wholesale market surrounded by stalls piled high with fruit and veg. Last month, inflation was up by 5.3% compared to a year before. But a large component of that was rising food prices, with food prices up by 11.5% from a year before. And shoppers aren't happy.
Everybody's complaining that food's too expensive, says a stall owner who gives his name as Mr. Liu. He sells pork but says business is slow. Across the way, Wang Limei is buying nuts for snacks for customers at his bar. Inflation has a huge influence on me personally, he says. We can hardly afford to eat anymore. We don't want to have kids because we're scared they'll starve to death. We'll all be bachelors forever. Actually, so far, nobody is starving. But given the implications for social stability, tackling inflation is China's top priority. He is Vice Premier Wang Qishan, speaking last week on The Charlie Rose Show.
The most pressing problem we are faced right now is the problem of inflation. We have to use monetary policy, fiscal policy, and at the same time, economic restructuring.
A newspaper hawker shouts out his wares. Beijing's four interest rate increases since October have made headlines. But it's a measure of China's nervousness about inflation that the company Unilever was fined $300,000 for just talking about possible price hikes. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
One of the companies that does a lot of business in Beijing and the rest of China is Caterpillar, the U.S. Construction equipment company based in Peoria. Caterpillar reported sales growth in April of 66%. But the U.S. economy remains shaky, according to the company's chief financial officer. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker has more from Edward Rapp's appearance in Bloomington at Illinois Wesleyan University.
The services sector of the U.S. economy is recovering far slower than the manufacturing sector has. Rapp says the lackluster service sector is, in fact, weighing on Caterpillar and its results in the U.S.
Well, I think the reason you're seeing good improvement from the manufacturing sector, you're seeing it from those companies that have good exposure to the emerging markets. Yeah, I think those that are able, through their exports, through their global footprint, participate in the emerging markets, I think that's what's driving the improvement in U.S. manufacturing. Let me give you an example. Our East Peoria, Illinois plant builds large track-type tractors that go into mining. Today, 8 out of 10 of those tractors are going to export. In Decatur, Illinois, we build our large trucks. 9 out of 10 of the large mining trucks are going to export. So I think the manufacturing sector is growing, especially in those areas that have exposure to the emerging markets. I think the challenging part of the services sector is for that to come back, we're going to have to see an improvement in growth in U.S. GDP. And as you've seen the numbers, it's still what I would consider the U.S. economy is in a fragile state.
Yeah, we're starting to see some economists reduce growth projections for the rest of the year. What are you tracking on that?
If you look at the U.S. market for us, it's a very mature market. So what drives our demand in the U.S. is primarily the replacement cycle. And the reality of it is that our business in the U.S. has been down for a long enough period of time that our customers are getting to the point where they have to start replacing equipment. You know, our business peaked at about the end of first quarter 2006. And from that peak to the trough, the industries we serve dropped about 80%, 80. And so it was a massive decline. What we are starting to see now is pretty good year-over-year growth in the U.S., but it's coming off some very low volumes, and it's strictly driven by customers having to replace the equipment just based on the age.
So there's no discretion for buyers, even with high fuel prices, that might otherwise retard that growth.
Well, I think fuel prices, continued pressure on the housing market, and others are things that continue to retard growth in the U.S. And like I said, the growth that we're seeing is strictly based on the replacement cycle. If we could get to the point where you'd have a bit more robust growth in the U.S., we see a tremendous pent-up demand that is waiting to happen. You know, one of the things we track is the size of our dealer rental fleets and the age, and we use it as a proxy of what's going on with our customers. And if you look at our dealer rental fleets today, they're below where they were in the last trough, if you would, 2002, and the average age of the equipment is 40% older. So there is a pent-up demand waiting to happen, but it's going to take more robust growth in the U.S. to unleash it.
Well, how much growth will trigger that?
I think you're going to have GDP growth rates that get into the 3.5% to 4% range. You know, there's a lot of slack in the economy today, high unemployment. It's going to take much more robust growth than we're getting today to really unleash it.
When do you think that might happen, if it does?
Well, you know, our views in terms of 12, we've talked about a GDP growth rate of around 3%. If we get some clarity, I think longer term, in terms of the fiscal plan and how we're going to move forward, I think with that clarity, you know, comes confidence. You know, I often get the question, what keeps U.S. businesses from investing and growing more? And business is all about confidence. If you think about it today, relative to confidence, we have uncertainty on where we're going on taxes. We have uncertainty on where we're going on trade, and we've got three trade agreements that, in our view, are key to exports that we've been, you know, we failed to get at, you know, push through, you know, the system. We have no clarity relative to a highway bill, which really is a key driver in terms of our business. And so, I think the recovery is going to come when we can get, you know, greater clarity on where we go, which I think that then translates itself into business confidence, which traditionally has led to business investment.
Even with the prospect of long-term elevated energy costs, even with the possibility of significant inflation, you're bullish?
Yeah, I think if you look at the elevated energy cost, I think to a large degree, it is driven by the supply and demand dynamics. I mean, you've got the urbanization that's happening around the world, you've got a whole growing middle class. And as that middle class comes on, they're going to want the same things that each of us take for granted. And so, one, I think the fundamentals are there for supply and demand, and I think that's what's driving it. The second one, in terms of inflation, I think, you know, the emerging markets, if you look at where they're positioned today versus where they've been positioned in the past, I think they're taking very responsible steps to make sure they manage, you know, their global growth. You're seeing them take interest rates up. You're seeing them concerned about overheated economies. And I think to the degree they do that and do it well, they'll sustain that growth going forward, much different than the situation we had back in the early 80s, you know, where, you know, they had high debt levels and their inflation was out of control. Today, you know, strong reserves, good management of their budgets, taking what I think are prudent steps in terms of trying to manage and control inflation. So, yeah, we remain optimistic.
Edward Rapp is the Chief Financial Officer for Caterpillar Incorporated. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Actor Corey Stoll got to play Ernest Hemingway in the new film Midnight in Paris.
I think what Woody Allen wanted was not for me to be Hemingway the person,
but to be Hemingway the literary voice.
And there's nothing fine and noble about dying in the mud, unless you die gracefully. And then it's not only noble, but brave.
Becoming Hemingway, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 20th of May, 2011. 1609, on this day, Shakespeare's sonnets were first published, most likely without his permission, a book of 154 sonnets, all but two of which had never been published before, including the sonnet, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. As long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee." It was on this day, 1927, 7:52 in the morning, Charles Lindbergh set off from Roosevelt Field in Long Island on the first solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic aboard the Spirit of St. Louis. It's James Stewart's birthday today, born Indiana, Pennsylvania, 1908, who starred